This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Two-hundred-pound black bear spotted roaming neighborhoods in Lacey Saturday morning was shot and killed by police.
Tonight?
Yeah, police took him out. They received multiple reports of the black bear in the area of St. Andrew Street, southeast, about 7:30 in the morning. The bear was estimated to weigh over 200 pounds, was seen running in alleyways in between homes and along the street. Officers say with no other reasonable alternatives, they had to kill the bear to protect the people who were outside, including several families at Rainier Vista Park. Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife later came to remove the dead bear.
How long do you think that process takes?
Right? Removing a dead bear?
Well, I'm saying, like, we shot and killed the bear. Like, they're like, yeah, we'll be there in 30, man. We're online. I mean, how long do you just leave a dead bear in the middle of the park?
Ted, I think you're the only person I know that's seen a live bear.
Yeah?
I mean, I've seen it at a zoo.
Right.
I've seen
a lot
of things like out in the wild. I've never run into a bear.
That's scary.
Yeah. What about a wolf? You ever seen a wolf out in the wild?
Not a wolf.
No, I've seen coyotes, bear.
Plenty of coyotes.
Yeah. My thought, as I understand it, if you see a wolf, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Right, because isn't that the thing? If you see a wolf, there's other ones around you.
Right. The whole wolf pack concept.
What
was the thing that went down in your neighborhood, 206-421-ROCK?
Although, with that said, even if it's a lone wolf, in my mind, I'm still in trouble.
Yes.
It still ends the same way. By the way, check out the movie The Gray if you don't want to sleep again. Hello, Trevor. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
Yep. First time caller, long time listener.
Well, welcome to the show.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
So I used to live next to the world's most obvious drug dealer.
The most obvious drug dealer. Okay. What made him so obvious?
So he had one of those late 70s, early 80s Toyota pickups.
All right.
And the exhaust manifold was falling off. And it'd take about 10 seconds of cranking to get the damn thing started off. And then it was just ungodly loud. And he would leave once an hour, all day, all night.
Well, look, here's the alternative, right? If you have a neighbor that's a drug dealer, one, there's a side benefit that we all understand. But beyond that, you can either have him be the drive-through where everyone he deals with comes to your neighborhood, or once an hour listen to his loud-ass truck, and at least he leaves. So it's just
him. You saw people show up at his house, too.
Okay. You ever buy anything from him?
Oh, no. I mean, he was a tweaker, so I'm...
He didn't have the drugs you're looking for.
As far as I could tell him.
Okay.
But, yeah, one night he got super wigged out on something, tried to bust in the front door of another neighbor in the neighborhood. They had to help hold him down at gunpoint. Cops got called. They arrested him. And then his grandparents actually owned the house he was living in. And they put a restraining order. So, of course, as soon as he gets bailed out of jail, he breaks into the house. Cops get called to our neighborhood again. They arrest him again. And then that was the last we heard of him. And I guess he had gone into the ceiling of his house, ripped out all the insulation, ripped out all of the HVAC ventilation crap, and then had a whole grow operation up there.
Okay. So aside from him dealing with the occasional customer, did he ever cause you any direct problems, or was it just you're just stuck in proximity to this guy?
Mainly just stuck in proximity. Besides, 3 o'clock in the morning hearing his stupid truck starting up.
Yeah.
And it was kind of creepy for about a year and a half afterwards. We just random cars would like pull into his neighborhood and then wait there and then like honk their horn and wait and then just drive off.
Again, if I'm going to pick up drugs at 3 a.m, you know what I'm not going to do? Honk my goddamn horn.
My grandmother, man, lives in a neighborhood that's a decent neighborhood for where she is. There's a guy that's about 5 or 6 houses down. I don't think he lives there anymore, but it was his parents' home. He moved in, 30-some-year-old kid, whatever. They had since passed on.
Okay.
There was a steel fenced-in yard, all right, with a deck on the side of the house. So you could see the deck from the front, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a slider off the kitchen on the side of the house. You could see that deck. He would sit out there, and he would throw all his beer cans into the yard. He would drink
his
beer all
yard.
Day.
Into the yard?
Into the yard. The entire yard was covered in beer cans. Now, keep in mind, there's no HOA or anything like that.
Obviously.
And everybody in the neighborhood, obviously, was like trying to get this guy to clean
up
his trash.
Could you see the beer cans or just his deck?
They were, it was like a foot of beer can. I'm not kidding you. This guy drank like a case of beer a day and threw all his cans out into the yard. He was also dealing drugs. And the only reason I believe they got his ass out of there and out of the neighborhood is because he got pop selling weed. And
really?
Not for OxyCon. One of those two. But either way, I mean, like, and then once he got sent to jail, his parents are deceased and all that stuff. So the neighborhood kind of had a cleanup. To go down there to clean up his yard because it was such an eyesore. It was more like, I don't care what you do in your house. I don't care if you're selling
drugs. But I don't want to look at it, right?
I just don't want to look at this crap every day. So apparently it was like 20 bags. And someone took them to recycling and made a pretty decent coin.
It just seems crazy to put it in your own yard.
It's just terrible to have the neighbor who, whatever reason it is that they're annoying, that it's just like, with my OCD, I couldn't take it. Like, I'd have to say so.
But again, you know, it goes back to to me, if I'm dealing drugs, which I know is illegal, like I know it's illegal, and I'm dealing them out of my home, I would want to be as subtle as I can. I mean, I would have a pristine lawn.
Right.
I'd be the guy that rented my place in Baltimore, so freaking annoying. I finally bought this place. 3 weeks later, we moved to Seattle. So I got to get a renter. I knew him. He moves in. He was there for a couple of years. And I'm one of those people that doesn't ask a whole lot of questions because I just don't want to know. But when he paid his rent, I never got a check from him. I got cash, and it was always overnight. And people that deal strictly in cash, like, I get what's going on, but whatever. Again, I don't care. So he's there for a few years. I finally get a call from the actual place. They're like, yeah, can you talk to the tenant? I'm like, well, what's he doing? They're like, he's actually a pretty good neighbor, which I appreciate about him, but we're pretty sure that he's selling drugs. I'm like, well, why would you think this? And it's the same thing where an S ton of cars show up, you know, 30 seconds at a time. But apparently the guys he was dealing with, I don't think he was selling like baggies to people. I think he was the middleman for some, because they're picking up.
So people are coming to get
quantities where they can go sell their other stuff. And I only base this on the models of cars that apparently were pulling into this particular condo complex. Because, I mean, these were some very high dollar vehicles. Because even when this woman's telling me, I'm like, wait, what? And she's like, this kind of car, this kind of car. I'm like, there's no way. She's like, I assure you this is the case. It's happened more than once, and about once a month, there's a whole parade of these. Most of them have New Jersey plates, which is what led me to believe he's the middleman more than just some low time. So I call him, and I say, Tom, listen, man, I don't know what's going on. You know I don't want to know, but people suspect that you might be slinging drugs out of my place. He's like, oh, no, I am. I said, well, okay, so we're there. You got to stop. They're about to call the cops. And I got to ask you to move out. And he was cool. I mean, like I said, he's a drug dealer. He got busted because all these people kept showing up. But otherwise, he kept the place pristine.
Mm-hmm.
The other neighbors in the building. So I had to fly back to Baltimore to deal with some stuff after he left. And when I'm there, you're kind of investigating the place. He left it perfect, right? The woman who lived upstairs, she was like, he was a great neighbor. He was just a drug dealer. I'm like, I know, but they're like, he didn't make a lot of noise. And even the people that drove up to grab their stuff, they weren't disruptive to anything. You know, they would greet you and all this, but it was real obvious what was going on. It's like, it made people uncomfortable. So it's illegal and it's in my goddamn place. It just can't happen, but
right.
You know. But that was otherwise, I think he played it right. Like, he was decent. He was quiet. He took care of his lawn, all this kind of crap. Like, right. You just can't have that many people.
That was just his
up.
Job.
That's it, yeah.
What was the thing that went down in your neighborhood? 206-421-ROCK.
And it was great to get cash from him. Hello, Thomas. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello. Yeah, so I grew up and lived in the town that they caught the Unabomber in.
Were you living there at the time that he was doing his thing?
I was, yeah.
All right, so the Unabomber is the Unabomber. How long had he been sending out bombs before they pieced together that it was actually, what, Ted Kaczynski? Was that his name?
Ted Kaczynski. I think he started in the late 70s.
What? Had he been doing it that long?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
He was one of the longest unsolved serial killers, and they had no idea.
Right.
They had no idea until his brother turned him in.
But was it? But he also wrote a manifesto, you have to remember. It got published in the New York Times, and his brother recognized his writing style.
Yeah.
And turned him in from the manifesto. Now, the bombs that he was sending out weren't just local to the Montana area. So, I mean,
no.
when this was happening, you don't know the source of it. He could have been your next-door neighbor. But he was bombing places in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, he was sending them everywhere.
Yeah, so, I mean, it wasn't really necessarily, not that it wasn't a direct threat to your neighborhood, but he never blew anything around his own place, did he? And I know he lived in the woods in a cabin.
He did not ask where he ate, no.
Funny, we were talking about that earlier in the office. But, all right, so were you aware of him as a human being before he got arrested?
Like a crazy old man who lives in the woods kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a town of 600 people.
Okay, you know, so you knew him.
So if there's a grocery store,
well,
you know him.
I can't say he really was reclusive.
Yeah,
he really was.
We kind of got that about him. I would imagine this was the big topic in the town when they identified Ted Kaczynski. He gets arrested. Did anybody make the Gary Ridgway thing? Everyone that we have talked to in this area that ever knew Gary Ridgway, when he got busted as the Green River serial killer, everyone was like, no one was surprised.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Gary, yeah, of course.
That makes sense.
Killing people for years. That was kind of creepy.
Yeah, that was a response from everybody. Like, no one was shocked. So was anybody surprised that he was doing that?
Yes. Number one, it's the Unabomber.
Sure,
and Lincoln is a town where people who don't want to deal with society anymore, they move to Lincoln, Montana.
That sounds like a strategy.
And people mess with them, you know? And so people just kind of left him alone, and he was just, and I remember seeing him in school, he'd ride his bicycle with no tires on it, just rims. And he just had this crazy hair, and you could tell he just lived out in the woods. And I knew the people that whose land he got caught on. So I would see him, like, riding up the driveway to his cabin.
And the weird thing about it is, man, you got to remember, too, he had transportation. Because one of the things that he was very meticulous about was the location where he sent these packages from. So every one of those bombs did not come out of your town.
Well, yeah.
Like, he would
he would take the Greyhound bus to Missoula, Montana, and mail them from Missoula.
Yeah, which is just, I mean,
so
big
when,
city.
When authorities first started investigating, were they concentrating on Missoula, or do you remember?
That's the thing. No one really knew what was going on. Everything was based out of Helena, because that's the closest bigger city.
Right.
And so they didn't really clue in on anybody that they had him as a suspect until the raid happened. And I knew the guy whose land the raid happened on, and I talked to him about the story that morning, because they did the raid right before sunrise.
Yeah, and he didn't put up a fight or anything. That was the thing.
Until his
brother fingered him, they did not have a lead.
Sounds terrible.
They did not have a lead. They had no idea, you know, where it was coming. They knew it was in that general vicinity.
Yeah.
They just didn't have any leads on any people. I'm assuming that guy's still alive in jail. I don't remember a story saying that he'd...
I think he's in the Supermax down in Colorado.
I would think you'd be in Supermax based on that, your behavior there. That's kind of nuts, man.
That is weird.
Yeah.
But you also got to wonder, what was the name of the town you said again? Would you say Lincoln?
Lincoln.
Lincoln.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, like, not that you want to put this on your sign walking in the when you're driving in, but
yeah, you do, because people would
Lincoln,
show
Montana,
up.
Montana, home of Ted Kaczynski.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I know it's
because people
it's
would
infamous, but at the same point in time.
But also, it's a town.
Funny side story about it is the guy whose land, who lived about 100 yards from Ted Kaczynski, he actually owned the land. He woke up that morning, they were doing the raid, and I remember having a beer with him, and he's telling me the story. He walked downstairs, and he's like pouring himself a cup of coffee, and he looks out his window, and he lives in the middle of nowhere. Like, there's no visible neighbors anywhere, so he's in his whitey tighties, and he sees all these law enforcement with machine guns, and they're doing the stealth march, you know, and he's got like 3 pot plants up in his attic, and Butch thinks it's a raid on his 3 little pop plants.
Right.
Runs upstairs, and he said, he's like, He's like, and I was pulling all the plants out, like shoving them in the insulation.
Oh, no, he killed all his pot plants because Ted Kaczynski's an idiot. That sounds like a scene out of a movie, doesn't it?
It does.
You're in the middle
and
of nowhere.
And then proceeded to do an interview with CNN or Fox in his whitey tidies. He didn't even put on pants. He's like, ah.
Yeah, they are. I was going to say, I think if you live in a town like Lincoln, though, I don't know that you want anybody, more people there.
No, you're right. That's a reason you probably choose to be there.
Did they tear down that cabin? I know they took everything inside of it out of there, but
it's actually in the Smithsonian.
The cabin is in the Smithsonian.
Yeah, I remember this clearly. They airlifted that cabin by helicopter and flew it out.
Now, think about this. If I'm a domestic terrorist, thank you, Texter. If I'm a domestic terrorist and I'm sending bombs to random people and they can't find me for years, I also get honored by having the place that I formulated this in the goddamn Smithsonian.
Mm-hmm.
I say F and burn the goddamn thing.
Yeah,
down.
It's like having pictures of all the Saudi Arabia guys that blew up the World Trade
Center. Yeah, like, hey, here's a look at
only three Iranians, but yeah, everybody else is from Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Well, and that was the funny thing. It was a 10-foot by 12-foot box. I mean, that's what he lived in. And I'm like, what? What do they flew it to Washington, D.C. to investigate it. To really dive into it.
That tells you how crappy Lincoln, Montana is. FBI's like, look, bro, I'm not going back to that asshole. Just grab the cabin and bring it to D.C.
That's just right, crazy. Yeah.
Trust me, I just got back from the eastern part of Washington. There's plenty of people who work on farms that live in a 5-by-10-foot box.
Well, sure, yeah.
I mean, everywhere. They're everywhere. What was the thing that went down in your neighborhood? 206-421-ROCK.
There's just not a lot of people that choose to.
I know
after
that.
Going to Harvard,
right.
Having a PhD, and then go, yeah, I'm going to live in a box with no running water or electricity.
That's why I spent 8 years in school, because this was my dream. You can do that pretty much on the cheap. Like,
how do you think his parents feel? You know what I mean?
Terrible.
You send him to Harvard? Well, I'm just saying, like all that investment, you know what I mean? This is going to be a smart kid.
He was smart. That's why he didn't get caught for a while.
Gets his doctorate and all that stuff.
I mean, that's the thing, though. You can't control what they do.
Right.
But obviously, he was a smart dude. He was smarter than the entire goddamn FBI. He got the New York Times to post his manifesto, and it's because what his sister and his brother recognized his ramblings is that he got caught. Otherwise, I think he's still doing his thing. Right?
That's kind of the problem with like people like that.
What's that?
There's a lot of people that do terrible stuff that you would just have no idea.
Because they haven't been caught yet.
Right, and you're shot. So when it's a family member, it's even worse, right? Because it's, you don't know them as the evil person. You know them as your family member.
But there's things, right? So, but at least with Ted Kaczynski, you say, all right, this guy lived in a box in Lincoln, Montana. You had Gary Ridgway. And this guy had a regular job. We had people that delivered pizza, said he tipped decent. Someone here says, I was friends with Gary Ridgway. Or was friends with a guy who knew Gary Ridgway. They would drink together at the Beachcomber Tavern up in Skyway. Pretty crazy. He knew them for all those years. Never had an idea. That is shocking. Then there's like the Jeffrey Dahmer thing, right? This dude lived like in a cul-de-sac or something. He lived in the middle of the suburbs. And this is a dude where neighbors called the cops because they see a 13-year-old naked kid bleeding, running out of his home. Remember this?
Yep.
Jeffrey Dahmer chases them. The cops show up. I don't know what Jeffrey said to the cops. They're like, okay, this is perfectly normal.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, those neighbors have to be pissed. Like, not only did we know it, we called you and told you. Mm-hmm. And you ignored us. Gary Ridgway is sneaky. Ted Kaczynski, I don't even know if it's sneaky. He's off the grid.
What was the thing that went down in your neighborhood? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Lisa. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, I remember I was woken up one morning by my neighbor pounding on the door telling me that some lady had walked up to our front porch area and stole our jack stands. And he saw her, which way she went, walking down the road. She was walking. And so I, like, run out the house, get into his car, and we're zooming a couple blocks down the road to try to find her. And we see her walking with a reusable bag with stuff in it, but you couldn't really see what was in it. And he was, like, yelling at her, like, yeah, I saw you do that. And he's on the phone with the cops. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Cuts through a yard. And we catch up with her on the other side. And she's walking into a house. But I'm terrified at this point because my neighbor is going ballistic. Like, this is the biggest issue in the world. And I'm like, hey, we're a block away from the house. Could you just please drop me off so I can just, like, get out of the car right now? Because I don't need to be involved in this. So pretty quickly the cops showed up. And they ended up knocking on the door that the lady had walked into. They got the jack stands back. The lady wasn't there. Found her a little bit ways up the road. I'm talking to the cops. They're asking me how much these jack stands are worth, and I'm like, $50? Like, nothing to warrant this kind of response, but turns out, in the end, she had a felony warrant for her arrest. So I was like, hey, maybe it was worth it.
Yeah.
$50 jack stand.
Because she could have done worse. And who wants to buy another jack stand, for crying out loud? You already got one.
Well, it was just like my neighbor, his reaction was just like way over the top. But the cops did their job. It was kind of crazy to me that the response was so quick, and it was quite a large response.
But, you know, it's like anything. Like, you can steal my TV, you can steal my kid's Hot Wheel car. Obviously, there's a difference in the money value, but personally, how I take it would be exactly the same. You know, once you feel violated or your securities, but I don't think, you know, if you stole a plastic pink flamingo from someone's front yard, they're going to chase you down just like you stole their car, man.
You wouldn't have it out front if you didn't want it. You didn't like it. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the problem with that. What was the thing that went down in your neighborhood? 206-421-ROCK.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
99.9 KISW.
Yay!
You're in the men's room.
Ryan Castle coming up momentarily. He'll join us from his basement studio bar dungeon. Once again, we will sit and spin. We've got 10 bands today that don't actually have the or the in their names. Ryan Castle right on the way after emails and our question. What was the thing that went down in your neighborhood? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Joshua. Welcome to the men's room.
Skinless bangers, lads.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, so real quick, Thrill, I'm going to ruin your trademarking idea. I got bad news for you, and it's only coincidence that my wife and I saw it last night or the night before. The truck nuts things for ladies, they exist.
I know. Somebody, they sent us a link to, I can't remember the name, like the Beaver Cleaver or something stupid like that. Yeah, we pulled up a picture of it. It is,
it's out there.
That is disturbing, man.
Yeah, it's a thing, right? Okay, so, I live in Tacoma and I've got a military background. A couple years ago, I'm asleep, it's probably 1-2 o'clock in the morning, and I wake up to the sound of what I instinctively presume to be, an explosion. Not a backfire, not a gunshot. Wake up, dead or just from asleep to just wide awake. That was a bomb. Within 5 minutes, I'm up out of bed. I've got a pistol and I'm at my door and I'm looking around the house. And probably 5 minutes later, Tacoma PD rolls into my neighborhood and they're going back and forth up and down my street, like looking in alleys, you know, he's flashing his lights And then it's like sirens from like all over the city. Fire, law, blah, blah, blah. All right, what happened? Spent the next like hour just sitting in my, not like paranoid, but just sitting on my couch, flashlight, pistol, and it's like, all right, I'm awake. I'm going to read my book while the cops just comb the neighborhood for something. And every 10 or so minutes, I'll do a once around on my property. And turns out, like, by the time I went to work at 6, it had already made the news. Some guy with like a half pound or pound of HME or homemade explosive blew an ATM out of a bank on Pacific Avenue and like launched a full federal investigation. You know, FBI shows up, they're scouring the whole neighborhood looking for evidence. And finally, I think by like 10 a.m. that day, they had scooped the guy up because they, you know, managed to track down like video footage from someplace else of this guy with an ATM in the back of his car.
That's Jesus. The other giveaway.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, right.
But at least he went for the explosives. There's countless videos of guys that like hook up these big ass chains to the trucks and it just rips the back of the truck off, rips the bumper off, and the ATM is like, yeah, right.
And you gotta wonder, like
I do it like a crowbar.
Well, the ones that are in convenience stores that are the smaller ones, you know what I mean? They're maybe 2 feet deep, 1 foot, foot and a half wide. Like you've seen people try to drug those out with trucks, with chains and everything.
Everything, else. Yeah.
So it's like,
I mean, look, like, he went big time.
There's a movie where some guy and gal, they like steal one and they're all jacked out and they've got it like propped up and he's trying to cut it open and it like tragically kills the anti-hero in the movie.
It happens. I mean, like, if they were that easy to steal and or get into, I'd have like 8 of them at my house right now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's not lost to anybody what it is.
They'd be stacked up like beer cans in your yard.
I mean, I'd be putting them out for recycling. Like, yeah, I hit 7-Eleven again. Just throw it over my shoulder, pop it right in, no problem.
Damn. What was the thing that went down in your neighborhood? 206-421-ROCK.
Now, all that said, we got to give a little credit to that guy because, look, everyone's dreamed of robbing a casino, the big jewelry heist, robbing a bank, right? Taking the ATM. And look, we all know we would be unsuccessful, which is why we haven't done it. So at least that guy said, you know, I'm tired of thinking about it. I'm tired of dreaming about this. I'm going to go ahead and give it the old college try.
And it was vacant.
And it's vacant. You know what I mean?
It's just crazy, like, the rules on robbing banks.
What do you mean?
Like, I watched a whole show.
The first rule is don't.
Right, but I watched a whole show about people that rob banks or got into, I think,
basically. Kind of career bank robbers.
Yeah, and they come from all different backgrounds and stuff. Like, one dude was an ex-military dude that, like, his brother got into trouble with the wrong kind of people. He had to pay it.
All right.
So he ends up robbing a bank. Basically gets addicted to just like the thrill of robbing the bank. But my point is that it's crazy. You're going to blow up an ATM and everything. Like, you probably, like, without the explosives, you might have gotten in less trouble if you just tried to rob a bank.
Yeah, because I think the FBI is involved either way. But there's no destruction of property as an extra charge, right? If you tried to rob the bank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have met people that have robbed banks. Now they were in prison, too.
Yeah. You said it was after the fact, right?
Right. He had already done his time. But I have never met anybody that was like, you know, I got this money. I stole an ATM.
I know. What was the thing that went down in your neighborhood? 206-421-ROCK.
But if they did, they wouldn't tell you.
I mean, you're right. I'm just saying, like, it never seems like those get pulled off. Whereas, like, unfortunately, you'll still see, like, a bank got robbed for this much money. They're looking for the person.
Banks will always get robbed, right? ATMs prove to be more difficult because, look, if you're not, like, mechanically inclined, like, what would you do to steal an ATM? Right? You don't know. What would you do to rob a bank? It's like, I'm going to get a weapon, I'm going to threaten them and hope it works, right? Anyone can give that a try. Why do you hand a note? I let the guys go, this is a bank robbery, right? Because you feel like that guy might kill you, right? I think you need to have that intimidation factor. I feel like the guy that hands the note, sure, you already know the teller's already hit the silent alarm. They're not sweating you, right? Because you're saying, hey, I don't want to do this. The guy that runs in and like fires the bullet up in the ceiling, like, oh, homie's down. Like, ready to go.
That's what I'm saying. It's also the rules, right? If you use a firearm in this, now you're doing a lot more time. And if you come in just popping off a shot, whereas a lot like this guy was just only going for small things, nobody was going back to the safe. All right. He was just making out with small amounts with a note. And it kept people calm. Trust me, dude. If I want to say it was a series on Vice, it is wild the psychology that goes into it and how everybody in the room reacts.
I got to rearrange my bank robbing game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, that's an old school Wild West, right?
It is. But, like, I worry about people that are already firing shots. I'm not worried about the guy said, if you do this, I'll do this. Like, all right, well, then I'm not going to do that. You don't have to do that. Problem solved.
What was the thing that went down in your neighborhood? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Bobby. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Hola!
So, story goes back to when I was about 17, 18. I was at a block party. It was a cul-de-sac. It was actually at my buddy's neighborhood. It's out in the high desert, if you guys know the area.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a cul-de-sac out in the middle of the desert. It looked like they started to build, and then they just stopped after building like 10 homes on one road for whatever reason. But anyways, perfect place to have great parties. The whole block would get into it. No one bothered you because you're kind of out in the middle of nowhere. Well, some genius during a 4th of July party decided to put down a firework, a cake, a huge one. If you guys know what that is, I didn't know at the time because down there you don't play with those big fireworks because you're gonna light the whole state on fire.
Yes.
Because everything's still dry.
Right.
So he put it upside down and, he had about a 25-foot wicker on it. Which I already knew was bad news. I was like, it doesn't have that long of one if it's not going to do some damage. But like I said, he put it upside down unknowingly, lit the thing, and then it just went off. And it just lit up the whole entire block. Nailed a poor girl right in her back with one of the fireworks. And it was one of the kind that spins.
Yeah.
And it spun right in the middle of her back. And it was just a mess. There was a live band down at the end of the cul-de-sac. You could hear them over the speakers just cursing and yelling and they weren't too happy.
So
they
messed up
a lot of their gear.
He did not know that he'd put it upside down.
No, he had no idea. And I think probably 90% of the people there had never even seen a cake before. Because like I said, we usually play with the little TNT ones just on the street. Nothing. We'd never even seen it before. And we didn't even know if that's what it was supposed to do or not until people started getting hurt.
did he catch any of the area on fire?
Yeah, so getting to that, fire truck had to come in to tend to people that got hurt, especially the girl that got pegged right in the back. They sent in a fire truck instead of an ambulance. Luckily, they did, because about 10 minutes after they showed up, pretty much everything out and around that cul-de-sac was on fire.
Oh, God, damn. How much damage did the fire end up doing?
It did quite a bit. I just remember there was one fire truck there. He was tending to people, and all of a sudden, look up, and everything's just aglow, and he's just like, oh, you got to be kidding me. He wasn't too happy.
No, I bet not.
So, but the guy that initially lit this thing, did he get in any trouble? Did everyone keep mum about who was responsible or what?
Honestly, I didn't even know who the guy was. Most people, we knew who they were because it was my buddy's neighborhood. It was just some random Joe. Probably thought it was funny. And, I have no idea what came of him. There's probably a good 150 people there. It was packed.
Yeah.
Damn, man. Mm-hmm. Upside down. If you're going to deal with explosives, I would just assume, but certainly hope, you know which end goes up. Because I'm not saying I do, but I don't really mess with explosives. But if you are, like, is that facing the right way? And he's talking about the spinning ones or jumping jacks or something like that. A buddy of mine got a hold of some firework, mostly firecrackers and crap like that, when we were in high school. But when we got out of school, all the students, we got on a regular city bus, but at the bus stop where the school was, obviously hundreds of kids are trying to pile on each and every bus, and you needed 4 or 5 buses. So I knew he had firecrackers, and this guy, he wasn't serial killer crazy, but he didn't care. Like, if you died, it's not because he meant for you to die, but he wouldn't care that you died.
Right.
And he was just that kind of guy. So all the students are always crushing to get on the bus. And then everyone starts screaming, mostly the girls, and everyone's jumping away, and there's one of those little jumping jacks on the ground directly in front of where the door is to the bus. So everyone's backing off, and I see this dude, Matt, walk on the bus. This big grin on his face with a handful of them. And people were mad, but he's like, yeah, just throw it into the crowd.
I almost feel like I knew they'd park. Fireworks, you just have this unwritten rule that, like, I can just look at you and go, hell no. Hell no. You are an idiot. I can see that right away. I am not selling you these fireworks. Mm-hmm. I will sell your friend these fireworks. I am not selling
you
these fireworks.
Go back to the car and get your friend.
Yeah, you go away. Send someone else out.
Have you seen the people that sell fireworks, though?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yes. I just know that in West Virginia, that guy who got the fireworks out of the trunk, you know he's the guy that gets the fireworks out of the trunk. He's the guy that just, like, he's the one guy that should not have this stuff.
But he's the only guy that's always going to bring it.
And always have it.
Right.
Isn't it cool?
Do you guys ever go to south of the border?
No.
So when you're driving down 95, you will see these road signs for south of the border.
Constantly, right.
But when you stop in there, right, what's it, the South Carolina side of North Carolina?
Yes.
So it's just over the state line. And it's terrible, cheesy hotels. It's all like Mexico themed because it's south of the border. But basically, the whole economy is fireworks. There's a couple miniature golf courses and a couple old hotels.
And two strip clubs. Right.
But yeah, I mean, just fireworks. Like I only stopped there once as a kid, which seemed like the holy grail, but...
And you know in North Carolina, because they would do fireworks legal in Maryland or Virginia or Pennsylvania.
It's all county by county. I remember where I grew up, they were not legal because they would like do bust and catch people driving out of D.C. with fireworks.
It was like a big, and you're like, my God, dude, there's drugs and murder in these two cities all the time. You're worried about goddamn fireworks. If you live in these cities, you're like, let them have fireworks. But there's always these cats. So July 4th and New Year's Eve, there's always these advertisements that came on. Remember, fireworks are illegal in the state. Well, the problem was, no matter where you lived in Maryland, within 20 minutes, you're in a state where it was perfectly legal.
Yeah.
So the cops would just stake out. They would just sit on the Maryland side of the border. And as soon as you would drive your vehicle, I mean, they would just pull people over left and right to check your vehicle. And 50% of them were like, come on, man.
What was the thing that went down in your neighborhood? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Heather. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How are you guys doing?
Great, Heather. Thank you. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
We're doing good.
Good. I was just calling to tell you about my experience.
Perfect. You know, that's perfect because we're taking calls right now on this question. So this is going to work out.
I was sitting out in my driveway in front of my garage one night, and this 30-some-year-old, because we have a lot of tweakers up in my neighborhood, he comes running into my driveway with a broom. And I'm talking to my mother, who is very Catholic, so I had to put my phone down so I could yell at this SLB. And I'm like, get the heck out of my driveway. I'm calling the cops right now. And he went down on his knees. He was going to have me arrest him himself.
Based on what now?
Okay.
I don't know. And there was nothing for me. I didn't have
him. Heather, why don't you tell him to sweep out your garage?
What do you want to know? It's got a fair lane sitting inside of it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If he's got a broom in his hand, put him to work.
He's got a broom in his hand. I don't know where he thought he was going to go.
He probably thought he was a witch.
Exactly. That's okay, because I am one, too.
You have a Ford Fairlane in your garage?
I do. My husband does.
What year is that?
64.
Wow.
How often do you ever take that thing out?
Well, it doesn't go nowhere right now, because it doesn't have an engine in it.
Uh-oh.
So.
All right.
Okay, that's a problem.
Yeah, it is. You can Fred Flintstone it, but it's a heavy car.
Exactly.
How long has it not had an engine in it?
Oh, at least 10-plus years.
Yeah, that's about what I thought.
It's a project.
It's a project.
One of those projects.
Do you ever believe he's going to finish his project?
No, because I think he's going to sell it to a buddy to get it done, because he's going to go buy himself one that's already done.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Might as well cut to the quick.
I like that. His placeholder. I'll keep this fair lane without the engine until I can get another fair lane with an engine.
Then he'll change his mind later. Maybe I'll just keep it for the parts. Well, there's no engine in it.
Right.
What was the thing that went down in your neighborhood? 206-421-ROCK.
I feel like I have more confidence in car that doesn't work in garage than car that doesn't work in the driveway guy.
Because at least the car in the garage, you're still protecting it.
Yeah.
Some part of you says, I still respect this vehicle. The one that's been rusting in your yard, like, bro, seriously, you're not going to get around.
Like, I have a buddy that has a car. I'm pretty sure it works at some point. But he's been working on the thing for as long as I've known him. 10 years.
At some point, I'm like, you know what? I'm done with this.
Yep.
I'm just going to buy a new goddamn car. Mm-hmm. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitcholas.
Hola.
So, I was about, 15, and I had a long driveway, and we would gather up for the school bus. And this guy, he came out, and he threatened to kill me almost every other day.
Any reason why, or that's just how he approached you?
That's just how he approached me. He was just this lunatic. So he was apparently had a meth lab, and the kids were next to the Bunsen burners on the other side of the wall. Well, they got caught, and the lady threw all the meth, and so we had a universal well that we all drank out of, right?
Okay.
So she threw all the meth into the well. Ooh. We drank meth water for like a week.
No, wait, did you know that she had done this before anyone consumed the water?
No, no. We were all messed out. Like, we didn't feel right. We're like, what's going on here? And they had a big, all the police gathered the community and said, granted, this is, I'm 34, this is 15 years ago. And so they informed everybody what is in meth and the reactions of, you know, what that does. So we were drinking meth water for about a week.
Before you realized or found out.
But all the grass was cut, the house was perfectly clean.
So it took a week to find out that you've been drinking meth water?
Yeah.
Jesus. Now, did anybody, so you said it's kind of a collective thing, did any of the neighbors have like weird withdrawal symptoms or any of that kind of stuff?
Not really, but we did feel weird.
Did they arrest those people and haul them off?
Oh, yeah. No, they're done.
Okay.
But right. Yeah, they threw all the meth into the well, so now it's contaminated. I mean, and it was a lot of meth.
That would have changed Lassie. Like, Timmy fell in the well, but he doesn't want to leave.
Does that mean you had to redo your water system to be able to drink clean water?
Oh, yeah. No, they drained it out and refilled it, and everything's fine. But it was the weirdest thing because the whole community had to go into a conference about, you know, what meth is and, you know, what happened, because everybody was acting weird.
Yeah, I bet they were.
Now, let me ask you this.
Some of them had to fake it.
You were, right. So I'm like, I don't know what it is.
I have no idea what's happening.
So you said you're feeling weird. That's one thing. But like when you talk to other neighbors during this week that you don't know you've been consuming meth, did anyone seem odd to you? You know what I mean? Like, did Gary down the street seem a little different than normal?
Oh, yes. I mean, I'm 15 years old, and it was like, yeah, you're not the same person, and I don't feel like the same person. You're a little bit more uppity, and you're scratching, and I don't know. Meth is like the worst thing ever.
So everyone's scratching, walking around.
Everyone's tweaking on meth. Yeah, no,
chewing an imaginary sandwich. No one's eating in days.
What are you chewing, nothing?
Yeah, that's good times. What was the thing that went down in your neighborhood? 206-421-ROB.
Upbeat.
Yeah. Hello, Andre. Welcome to the men's room.
Ooh, Andre.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
How you guys doing?
Excellent. Doing great, Andre. How are you?
First time caller, long time listener.
Welcome to the show, man.
Awesome. So my story happened a couple years ago. Me and my old roommate, we were restaurant managers, right? So we'd get home a little late. And one night we get home and we're smoking a joint on our stoop, on our porch. And we hear this noise. This is about 1 o'clock in the morning. And we hear engine revving really loud. This is in West Seattle, pretty residential little spot of West Seattle on Thistle Street. And I hear this engine revving really loud. So we look up, and it's this box truck, like a delivery box truck. And he's going, must have been 60 or 80 miles an hour. And he's going uphill, and he swerves onto the left lane, and he's completely lost control of this box truck. And he hits the curb, and right when he hits the curb, he hits a little tree, like this little pine tree, and he gets airborne on this full-on box truck. We see a box truck flying over a yard with all four wheels in the air over the bushes. This has got to be about 6 feet up in the sky. The truck is flying over a house, and it lands, it face plants into the roof of the house next to it. And at this point, me and my roommate, we put down the joint and we look at each other. We're like, what are we smoking? We did not know. We didn't know if this was real or if we were in a dream or what to do. It was those 2 seconds of just, am I awake? And then my dog jets out of the house, runs across the street, and this truck is just pinned against this roof at 1 o'clock in the morning. And immediately we smelled, you know, that smell of popped glass and just fuel.
Sure.
And I tried to break open the truck, and the driver is just passed out. Completely got pinned against the cab with the roof of the house. And at that moment, I kind of panicked, right? I didn't know what to do because I smell fuel, and I don't know if the truck's about to blow or not. And all I can think of is, where's my joint? Where's my joint? Because I know the cops and the fire department's about to show up, and I don't want to be smoking a joint.
I wouldn't worry about that as much as I would the fact that you can smell fuel and you have something lit in your hand.
But I like your priorities.
Exactly. Well, getting high is always my priority. But, yeah, I didn't know whether if I should save him or get out of the truck right then. So, and immediately a bunch of neighbors start popping out of their houses because this, like, shakes the whole block.
Well, sure.
So the neighbors start coming out, and the first thing that the neighbor tells me is, like, you should put out that joint. The cops are showing up right now.
All he cares about is the joint.
But he had a lit joint in his hand and didn't know it?
Where's my joint?
Oh, good God. So to come, Ryan Castle-Wilson, spend 10 bands that don't actually have the or the in their names right after emails in the men's room at KISW.com.